Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. Did you know that? Pentecost Sunday brings us in focus with the Holy Spirit in a very unique and special way. And thank you for joining us here in personal, as your prayer of faith family, as well as you joining online. It's just good to have you here this morning in the house of the Lord. But today is Pentecost Sunday, for it was at Pentecost when all the nations gathered together and finally was able to understand the gospel. Understanding it as it was proclaimed in their language from the Holy Spirit, thereby reversing the events that happened at the Tower of Babel, when all confusion came from languages back in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. I know we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and all the world pauses to celebrate with us, and we celebrate His resurrection, and most of the world recognizes Easter as a very special day on the calendar. We celebrate His resurrection, but today in Pentecost, hardly anyone recognizes it. Yet this day is so important because it is the birthday of the church. It's the church's birthday. And God has given us a wonderful opportunity of being part of the church. Because, well, without it, who knows what would be of us if we didn't have the church today. For many of you here today, if not most of you, or all of you, has found Christ in your life and was able to begin your relationship with Him through a local church. Amen? And so the power of the church is wonderful, and today is the birthday of the church. It's in the second chapter of the book of Acts that we read about the beginning of the church. The first chapter of Acts tells us of when Jesus is meeting with His disciples on the Mount of Olives and is telling him to be witnesses throughout all of the world. And He also tells them that I need you to go and wait in Jerusalem until you receive power on high. And that's when he ascends into the heavens out of sight. And so they go to Jerusalem and pray until finally the Holy Spirit descends upon them and empowers them like a rushing wind. That song we sing, Holy Spirit, come. It just came like a rushing wind. The expression on the faces of them when they received it had given them away. Their faces and their speech was a glow of having the Holy Spirit come upon them. So Pentecost for Christians reaches its highest point of development in the celebration of the work of the church. And that began on Easter Day. For in early Christianity, Easter Day was when all the believers who came to Christ was the primary day for baptisms to happen. And so the newly baptized believers were then trained in basic Christian doctrine that included the meaning of the sacraments, what the Holy Communion were, the Lord's Supper, and all of those things that they now experience, the importance of prayer and dedication and commitment and reading in the Word. And now they were prepared to take up their individualized ministries in the life of the church, to grow successfully in their service to Christ. And so this morning, as we turn to our passage in Acts chapter 13, book of Acts, chapter 13, let's begin our worship through the Word this morning by declaring what Psalms 150 says, which encourages us to let everything that has breath praise the Lord. One more time, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but society's view of success usually boils down to a list of things that we should have to be successful in the eyes of society. There was an extensive survey done in the United States by a leading polling agency, and questionnaires were distributed to people of all ages and occupations that they did and performed. And the key question that they asked was this, and that is, what are you looking for most in life? And when all of the results came back in, the analysts were quite surprised. Most of them probably figured out that it expected answers that would suggest maybe materialistic goals that were on the survey. But instead, the top three things that people wanted in life were love, joy, and peace. Love, joy, and peace. Those which happen to be the first three fruits of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual success in the life of a believer is becoming what God wants us to be and using that growth to carry out His calling in our lives, as Kisha was speaking about earlier to our graduates. So tagging on to this day of Pentecost Sunday, I see it as a very applicable message to our graduates as well as to our church as we look at fulfilling our calling. Join me now as we look at Acts chapter 13, the first five verses. It says, "Now there at Antioch in the church that was there, the prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, who had been caught up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them.' Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them their way. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John as their helper." I don't know how many of you have ever been to Italy. Anybody in here has ever been to Italy? Okay, a few of you. A lot of my mom, she's European anyway, so I would expect that. Most of you are military that have been there. But I've never been there, but I remember in my art history class about looking at some artwork of Michelangelo. And he had a whole slew of unfinished carvings to where there would be part of an arm or part of a leg that was missing, and the sculpture just kind of looked incomplete. And well, it seemed, because it really was, incomplete. And many of us, even though we have a career or have a job or have a home and have cars, feel that life for us sometimes feels incomplete. We have a sense about us of unfinishedness, about who we are and what we're all about. And at the core of this is our subject for the day on this Pentecost Sunday, and also as we recognize our graduates on this special day, and that is the subject of fulfilling your calling. You see, far too many of us are just pretty much existing in life, not living, because we haven't got around to our divinely ordained call and reason for being. And one of the great fruits of spiritual growth, one of the great wonders of our spiritual growth, is fulfilling the reason of why you were put here in the first place. And the word that we have for that in the church, and the word we use for that, is the word calling. Your calling. What we might call the ministry of spiritual growth. First of all, to clarify the term, so that we can kind of know what we're referring to, when I talk about your calling or my calling, what I'm talking about is the customized purpose that God has ordained and equipped you. Customized purpose. Customized life purpose of what God has ordained you and equipped you for. And he does that, as Kisha mentioned earlier, to our graduates as well, to expand his kingdom and to bring him greater glory. One important factor that God wants you to grow in your faith, and why he wants that happen, is so that you in a more maximized fashion can be able to fulfill your calling. And that's why it's so important to grow in him. And every believer in here has a calling. That's one of the great gifts of God's grace, that God has provided every believer. And it happened and it started at Pentecost. When Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he told them in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, he says, "By grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not according to works, so that no man should boast." And then he says in verse 10, after he talks about verses 8 and 9, after you get saved, he says, "For we are his workmanship." We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand so that we might be able to walk in them. That's part of your salvation package. There was provided for you a life plan and life purpose. I know a famous verse that is mentioned at a lot of graduations is Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, which states, "For I have a plan for you, saith the Lord, not one of calamity, but of well-being, to give you a future and to give you a hope." And so the word we use for planning and that purpose and that destiny that God has as a part of your salvation package is the word calling. That customized life purpose that God has given you, whereby God has ordained and equipped you for the express purpose of expanding his kingdom, therefore bringing him greater glory. That's referred to as your calling. This calling or this divine purpose for being is one that has been given to you by your Creator. God is a God of purpose. For example, a car only fulfills its purpose when it drives. If a car is stuck in a garage that won't turn on, it won't carry you anywhere, maybe a nice piece to look at. A lot of people have nice cars in their garages and they collect cars. But those cars aren't fulfilling its purpose. Or perhaps an instrument when it's laying on a chair. The instrument may be well shined and may be well polished, but if there's no sound coming from that instrument, it's not fulfilling its purpose. When God created Adam and Eve, in fact, when God created everything in Genesis chapter 1, he created it to fulfill its purpose. He said to the sun, "Sun, your son, or your purpose, is to provide light during the day." And he said to the stars, "Stars, your purpose is to give light during the night." And he told Adam and Eve, he said, "Have dominion over the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Your purpose is to fulfill my dominion." There's a great verse in Acts chapter 13, which is in our passage today, at the very bottom, it's verse 36, if you'll follow there. It says, "For David, after he served the purpose of God, in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay." Worst kind of death that you can die from is one where you didn't fulfill what you were put here on this earth to begin with. Whenever you meet God in heaven, whatever day that may be, and he asks you, "How have you expanded my kingdom? What have you done for mankind?" What will you answer him? You and I, we've been saved to fulfill a calling. And this calling is customized for each and every one of us. There may be some similarities, but it's customized. It says in the Word today, the Word says that David served the purposes of God for his generation, not for future. Now, it may have affected future generations, but he served his generations. He was great in his generation. That means that God had a purpose for David. And guess what? He has a purpose for you and me as well. And one of the reasons why we want to grow and to maximize our spiritual development, to get everything we can out of it, is so that you and I can realize our purpose of what it is. We don't want to just live and then just die. And so, written over your tombstone, it says, he or she was here. And that's it. I know years ago there was a man searching for his family roots, and he visited several cemeteries looking for them. And while he was there, he read many inscriptions that were on the tombstones. And on one tombstone he came across was the words that were engraved, "Pause now, stranger, as you pass by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so soon you will be. Prepare yourself to follow me." Well, next to that tombstone, someone placed a piece of wood with a note on it. And on that note was written, "To follow you, I am not content until I know which way you went." There was another occasion when a widow who had "rest in peace" put on her husband's tombstone until she found out that she was not in his will. Well, she quickly had added under "rest in peace until I come." So, you know, there's all kinds of things that you can find written on tombstones, but in reality, the emptiness that seems to surround us sometimes of people who are unaware of, number one, God has a calling for them, and number two is what it is. What is my calling? And the beauty about your calling is that it's tailor-made just for you. That's why Paul said in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, "Work out your salvation with" what? "Fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you to both will and to work for his good pleasure." Or Proverbs 20, verse 5, where it says, "A plan in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding is able to draw it out." And in the same way, you and I have a unique DNA. We have unique fingerprints. And also, you have a unique calling as well. Pastor Adam and I, even though we both may be pastors, each one of us has a unique calling under that title of pastor. And likewise, the calling that you have only belongs to you. Pastor Adonijah has a calling that is unique to him. Same with Pastor Jennifer. And so we each have different callings to do. Pastor Adonijah is amazing at help, the gift of helps in service and servitude to Christ. And so you shouldn't be simply satisfied just to go through life, just to get a check to pay for a house. There's more than that in a calling. Now, if you just want a check to pay for your house and car, that may be the American dream, and you might look successful in that aspect, but God has got a dream that's a little bit bigger for your life than that. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with having a car or two, and there's nothing wrong with having a home, and there's nothing wrong with even having a job, but sometimes you wonder, is this all there is to life? Is just going through these motions to make sure I've got the American dream, I pay my bills, I have this and that, and then is that it? No, there's more, because God wants you to grow and God wants you to experience your calling that he has in store for you. And so intentional is God in this issue of calling that he has given you and I unique gifting. Because he has equipped every believer with what the Bible calls a spiritual gift. meaning a divine enablement. I like the way 1 Peter puts it in his book, 1 Peter, and when he's describing this gift in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, he says, as each one, which applies to everyone who is a believer in Christ, has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold of grace of God. So guess what God did when he saved you? As part of your spiritual package of salvation, he also gifted you. Now, let me add a little understanding on this thing called gift, because a gift is not simply a talent. You may be good at something, but a spiritual gift is a little bit different. You don't have to be a Christian to have a talent or to have talents. Non-Christians, atheists, haters of God, they have talents, that is the human ability to in certain areas be able to perform or stand out in a crowd in some way that makes them unique. But a spiritual gift is much more than a talent, because a spiritual gift is what the Holy Spirit of God can use. And he uses it to promote the purposes of God through your life. And the problem is, though, that many of us have taken God's gift and settled on using them as human talents. And the way you do that is by using your giftedness for you and not for his kingdom. Our gift is something that the Holy Spirit gives us and he uses. Now, it may be the same as a talent, but it does much more than just a talent, in that it promotes that part of God's kingdom and doesn't just simply promote your bank account. One of the reasons many of us miss our calling is that we are missing our gift. We've settled for the secular definition of why we're here, because we've settled for the American dream, to look successful in the eyes of our culture or our society. But we've missed what God's eternal purpose is, and why he gave us that unique ability in our lives, that unique experience to experience God in a different way, as well as have that passion or that desire. Now, your calling, it can be meshed with your career. For example, there's those who are in full-time ministry, proclaiming God's word as their full-time job. Or your career can support your calling. Paul's calling was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. But the way he paid his bills is by being a tent maker. So it can be one and the same, or it can be separate. But the point is that you are able to identify in your life something that is eternal, in the way that God is using you and giving you something beyond this earth that will show up once again in heaven when you get there. Matter of fact, let me share some of your church's family gifts that they have. Now, this was taken back in 2018 when we went through Starting Point on Wednesday night. But Charlotte's number one gift was administration. Remember that? Kathy Day's was, of course, mercy. That's why she's back with the kids right now. Jan Murray's was knowledge. Now, a lot of them were high-ranking in other areas, but this is just the predominant one. Jim's was giving, so if you need any money, hang around Jim. Michelle, yours was the gift of helps. Laren, yours was the gift of service. There you are. You're usually sitting. Okay. Cindy's was, of course, we all know what hers is, the gift of hospitality. And Mom, yours was exhortation, the gift of exhortation. Miss Thelma, yours was prophecy. You excelled in a lot of them, but prophecy is the one that stood out for you. Jan Caldwell, yours was faith. This was your leading one. And my wife's, of course, was teaching. Rex, yours was administration also. So there are those in your church family that who have went through Starting Point and found out that their spiritual gift, what they're good at, and what God has given them patience with to do and work for God's kingdom. Now, if you haven't found your calling yet, then there's a symptom that's bound to show up if you haven't found your calling. If you're not fulfilling your calling, then that explains why there's a hole in your heart. Maybe not physically, because I know some people have physical holes in their heart, but just an emptiness. And there's nothing that you can do to fill that hole. No amount of matter of how many relationships that you get yourself into to find that one perfect person. Or no matter how many things that you are able to accumulate to fulfill that things, those things that you like to have. There's always going to have that hole because God has called you for something greater in your life. Not in the future, but now. And so many people are continually trying to find that thing that will fill them satisfaction or cover that hole in their heart. What has God called you to do? If I were to ask you that, what is your divine reason for being? How would you answer that? And that's why Pastor Adam and I encourage every Prayer of Faith member to go through Starting Point group study to help find their spiritual gift. How are you using your giftedness, if you even know what it is? How are you using it to further God's kingdom? If you can't answer that question, then your spiritual development is going to be a little limited because you're not fulfilling the reason that you're here for being. And you'll always seem to settle for life, which will always leave that empty feeling inside a lot of times. But you don't have to. Because the kingdom of God, it's like a puzzle that has been completed. But it's made up of all of these little pieces. And I'm sure that you've done it, or perhaps your children or grandchildren have done it. And that is trying to put a piece of the puzzle in a place where it wasn't meant to fit. I know that's why I don't like puzzles. Because I'll look around and I'll find a piece that kind of looks like it goes there. And I'll put it in there and it doesn't. And I'm thinking, well, maybe they didn't cut it right when they made the puzzle. And start pushing it down in there, but it won't. They're trying to force it to fit, and it's not meant to fit. And I got a whole pile of pieces over here that I got to dig through to find the right piece. That's too much work for my mind. And then I get mad because it won't fit, and because you're having a hard time of trying to find the piece that does fit in that thing. Now, I know a lot of you people like puzzles, and I applaud you for that, but that's just not one of my big things. Now, I like the small grand puzzles that the grandkids do, because those are only 10 pieces. But God has saved each one of us to be a kingdom part of the puzzle. And the Bible said that He has placed each part in the body at the exact place that it's designed to fit. Because your calling will always be bigger than you. Because we're just a puzzle piece in the overall puzzle of the kingdom. Because it's associated with God's kingdom. And it's always bigger than you. When God called Adam and Eve, He gave them a big job by saying, fill the earth with the image of Me. Because God is always up to something bigger. Everybody look up at the ceiling for a minute. Remember when we used to have those canister lights? Sometimes they would burn out. Sometimes they would burn out and fall down on some of you. If they didn't fall down on you, they fell down near you. Well, Pastor Adam and I planned that so we would just find out what would come out of your mouth when they fell near you. Kidding aside, whenever those canister lights went out, I mean, they weren't easy to replace either. I mean, you almost had to do a circus act to replace them. If you wanted some good entertainment, you could always come up here and watch either Spencer or Rex with his long pole trying to reach up there to snap it onto the light and then to twist it and to get it out and to bring it down, much less put the new one back in its place. It was pretty entertaining to watch. Good way to pass the time of day. But that was hard. And that's one of the reasons why we decided to have them replaced with LED lighting is, one, it's safer. You're not going to have bulbs fall down on you anymore. Plus, it saves on electrical usage. Now, all of the lights in the sanctuary are lit up, and they're fulfilling their calling, because every bulb has one calling. And that calling is to give light. And that's what we have today is light. But when we had the canisters, when one or two would go out, there would be dim places in our sanctuary, and the bulbs were off, or they were either burnt out or just missing because we didn't find any bulbs to replace them yet, but they weren't fulfilling their calling. Plus, it made it darker for everybody else around them when that happened. But whenever we changed the light fixtures out and put the new lighting in, now all of the bulbs in here are fulfilling their calling. And not only are the bulbs doing okay, the room's doing a lot better because we all feel safer. Then hot burning bulbs aren't going to fall on us. Because every bulb is called to do something beyond itself, and that is, it's called to express light to a bigger area. And the same is so with us as believers. For they have been called and equipped and gifted of God for God's divine purpose, which is bigger than just yourself. And the scripture that we read in our hearing today in Acts chapter 13, we discover at the church of Antioch, and it says in verse 2, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them to do. Part of your spiritual growth, part of your spiritual realization is understanding what your calling is. And please notice that in our scripture today, he called them by name. Set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them to do. God has a work that he has called you to do. And so the natural question as follows is, well, how do I discover that calling? That's perfectly natural. And the answer is, God will tell you. God's not playing hide and seek for your purpose in life. Trust me. He's not playing a game. But notice this in our scripture. They only discovered their calling while they were, verse 2 says, ministering to the Lord. In other words, it was in God's presence that God let them know through the work of the Holy Spirit what their purpose was in life is. And so it's important for us to prioritize our spiritual growth so that you can hear the voice of God to tell you why you are here in the first place. The unfortunate reality of that is many of us do not know the Spirit's voice, because we've never heard him call our names. And that's why it's important to hear the voice of God through the Holy Spirit, which began way back at Pentecost. You see, you don't want to come to church just to hear a preacher talk. I mean, I wish I could flatter myself and say that you did, but it just isn't so, because you can listen on the radio, you can watch on TV just to be able to hear a preacher talk. You can watch it online even. No, you want to come because you want to hear the voice of God calling your name and showing you the work that he has called you to do. And I know people get scared a lot of times to say, God, use me for whatever you want to do. God, however you want to use me, use the gifts in me, the talents, the skills that I have that you have given me for your purposes. I'm willing to do it. And Christian folk get scared to pray that prayer. In my years of ministry, I ran across believers that are hesitant, if not adamant, about not wanting to pray that prayer. Why? It's not because they're living in sin or have done some great wrong, but it's because they're scared to death that God's going to send them to New Guinea or some deep, dark place in Togo land somewhere. I mean, I had that fear when I was a teenager and a young adult. Whenever we would go in the summertime to Falls Creek Youth Camp, one of the altar calls that they gave was the call to ministry. And growing up in church, I always felt called to minister because I loved church so much. But I felt called to go down, but I was way too hesitant because I was thinking in my mind there was some missionary guy, some missionary recruiter in the back of the counseling room, and if I went down, he'd be there with a piece of paper and say, sign on this dotted line for recruitment, only to obligate my future ahead of me, kind of like the military does. Finally, when I was able to muster enough bravery to be able to go down to the altar one year during that calling, I was so pleasantly surprised. Especially when the counselor mentioned to me about serving Christ in your local church. I was never so glad in all my life. You know, it's amazing what the mind will come up with and what the enemy will whisper in your ear to keep you from doing God's will. Now, there is a call to missions, by the way. The local churches should support those, and that's why we love giving to Samaritan's Purse. That's why we gave to Guatemala in starting churches and building widows' homes. There is purposes for that. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that the will of God is perfect and acceptable and good. Good for whatever it is. And in other words, God gives you a passion for what He calls you to do. God does not call you outside of you. He calls you. He calls you of what you are capable of doing. He never expects you to do something that you're incapable of doing. Now, He'll call you sometimes outside of your box that may be something that you've never done before, but He knows that you're absolutely capable of doing it. And when He calls you, with that comes fire. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit with fire. The Holy Spirit burns. They called the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament the stirring of the heart. He creates a fire in your spirit. And there are two ways to confirm that calling. Well, of course we hear it and God speaks to you, but there's really two ways that He confirms that calling in you. The first is the fire inside of you. The second is the circumstances on the outside of you. In other words, He creates an avenue on the outside for it to happen, but then He creates a fire on the inside of you for you to want to pursue it. It's where your heart is set ablaze and where you can be able to see things that you've never seen before because God's giving you a vision of what He wants you to do. Because with God's calling, He lets you see things because God's calling comes with fire, and with that fire can come a vision of what He wants you to do. So that God is taking you to places that have not yet been in your mind, and so it doesn't have to be necessarily in front of you, but it could be, but not always. I was speaking to Pastor Adam last Wednesday evening after everyone had left after Bible studies and so forth. We used to be able to talk for hours on end, but life's become so busy at both of our places of work that it just doesn't happen. So we really had a good chance to speak Wednesday night. And as I was speaking with him, I asked him if he remembered him and I sitting on the sidewalk and just outside of the church here one evening, just visualizing what God had in store for us. And this was while we were still at pastors at Ground Zero, ministering to our teenagers. This was way before we were pastors here today. So calling is where God lets you see it, whether it's there or not. Calling is the ministry of spiritual growth. God doesn't just grow you for you, but he rather grows you for him. He grows you for his kingdom. He grows you for his purposes. And he grows you for his calling and the direction that he has for your life and mine. And when he gives you this new vision of his purpose, trust me, you'll never, ever be the same again. God has a reason for you. All things are working together for good if you love God. And if you are called for his purpose. In closing this morning, maybe you're saying, what do I do? What do I do? You decide to say, Lord, I'm going to grow. I'm going to get close to you. And I'm going to keep my ears open, Lord. Holy Spirit, talk to me. Call my name. Let me know what my unique gifting is. And by the way, God only hits a moving target. You can't be standing still doing nothing saying, God, someday tell me what I'm supposed to do. You can't be doing nothing and think that when it hits me, I'll do something. That's not how it works. It works by doing what is in your hand to do until God shows you what he wants to do you to do next in your life. And if you can do just that, then you won't have to find your calling, because your calling will find you. Because the Holy Spirit knows where you live, and he knows how to speak, and he doesn't stutter. But you have to know also that he's not called us to be just a cul-de-sac. That is a dead end, just going round and round and doing the same thing. But rather, he's called you and I to be a conduit so that he's able to express himself through you so that your living will not seem empty. So that you will end your life like Paul. When Paul says, I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. And then he concludes it with this. Now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But not for me only, but for those who love his appearing. Which means you and I. Because they finished their race. Graduates, church, those of you who may be watching through social media, it's time for us to get on the track. Time for us to start the run. I know it may be a little unclear right now, but if you go before the Lord and you say, Lord, show me my purpose for being here. I'm going to grow in knowing you. I'm going to get close to you so that I can hear your voice. Then you can create the internal fire inside of me and show me the way before me, the external opportunity that lies before me, and give me a vision of your reason of why I'm here in the first place and fulfilling my calling. Let's pray. Thank you.